And now, beautiful people going fast on fire. Welcome to the True Fiction Podcast, Kino Club Edition.
Welcome to True Fiction's Kino Club, where we discuss movies old and new. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the 2021 film, The Green Knight, an epic medieval fantasy film directed, written, edited, and produced by David Lowry, adapted from the 14th century poem Sir Gawain and the Green Knight. The film stars Dev Patel as Gawain, who sets out on a journey to test his courage and face the Green Knight. But before we get started, Kino Club roll call. I'm Pat.
I'm Norbert.
I'm Marshall.
All right, so we all watched this film separately, of course. We all watched it on streaming services, and that's something I want to talk about before we get out of here tonight. But what were our thoughts on this film? What did we like about this film?
I liked the cinematography. The music was pretty good. Some of the performances were pretty good. And then that's my likes.
That's your likes. Okay.
I like the acting a lot. I like some of the, I guess this goes hand in hand with the cinematography, but I like some of the visuals. I like some of the pacing of the movie I really enjoyed. And then other aspects of it, I felt like it dragged on, but I thought some of the pacing was done very well. And I liked some aspects of what I believe to be the message of this film, or at least I enjoyed some aspects of the journey that the main character, Gawain, goes through.
Oh, there's one other thing that I like, and that's the graphics, like the actual written words that they showed on there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The graphic design for it and the handwriting, the stylization of that, I did like that.
The graphic lettering, yeah, absolutely. That was pretty cool. I like what you guys like, so I'm going to try not to go over that stuff again. I actually thought the guy that played Sir Gawain, Dev Patel, I think he's a good actor. And I liked most of his performance. I liked, as Marshall said, he liked visuals. So there were some fantasy elements in this movie that I enjoyed. I enjoyed the fox, although I really don't know if I understood it. I did enjoy it. I have my own suspicions as to what the fox represented, but I could be wrong. And the music fit the movie. I did enjoy the actors who played King Arthur and Guinevere, but you would know who they were just by watching the movie. Gawain is the nephew of King Arthur, and the king is old now. And I like that relationship. You know, I thought some of the story was good. That's really what I got. I think there were some good aspects to this film, and it's hard to pick. And sometimes some of what makes it a decent movie for me is the parts put together. Not all the parts, but some of the parts that go together I liked. Now, we've talked about our likes. What about our dislikes about this film?
Okay, I'm ready to roll. I am almost sure that the scavenger character was the main lead in Saltburn.
Yes, you're correct.
And at the point that he arrives on the scene and Sir Gawain does not take care of that situation in a suitable, heroic fashion, I was out. I watched the movie, but I emotionally left because I hate, when I saw that character, the revulsion at Saltburn come forward again in my mind. And
it wasn't the character, it was the actor. And I know exactly what you're talking about.
But the fact that Sir Gawain did not do anything heroic in that situation, plus the fact that I hated that, it reminded me of Saltburn and I hated that, it took me out of the experience. I watched the rest of this movie, but I didn't care. I was hoping that Sir Gawain was going to get his head chopped off because he didn't take care of that situation. That was not a heroic. There was nothing, and maybe it's because, I don't know, I think of epic fantasies, the heroes need to have some sort of heroic qualities to them. And he didn't show much of anything that I was really impressed with, other than the fact that, well, I'll go, I have to do this. And I admire that part of it, but it's plotted at points. And there wasn't enough in there that made me feel like, okay, I'm invested in this. After that point, I didn't care what happened. What happened was there were some cool things. The Giants were cool, but I didn't care. I wanted the movie to be over at that point. After that, I didn't care. I wanted the movie to be over. And now that may be my personal foible. Maybe if I hadn't watched Saltburn, I wouldn't be as irritated about it. But even if you take that away, I was confused at the end. I'm sure they're trying to tell me something, but I don't know what it is, and I don't care. You didn't even hold up for a parable for me. At least a parable I can understand it, but this I didn't get. Maybe it's too smart for me. It probably is.
I don't know about that. I will say this, though. While he was on his quest, he had not been knighted.
Thank God. Because he was a loser.
And that's actually true. That's actually part of what the movie's about, is he's a slacker, and he was a loser. It's based on a poem, right? It's not a long poem. That character, that situation doesn't happen in the poem. So this is what they added it to. Now, I know there's a reason why it was added. I feel maybe I'm just trying to be helpful to the film. I don't know. But yeah, I kept thinking that he was surely not ready for the trip that he was taking when he left.
But at the end, I don't feel like everybody's like, well, at the end of this quest, man, wow, you're going to be something. And he's making out with this dude and all this sort of stuff. And I'm just scratching my head trying to figure out what is the great enlightenment that he's going to have. And at the end, I didn't feel like there was any great enlightenment. And again, maybe it's over my head. Maybe there's some great stuff happening over here. I just was not able to absorb. But I wanted more swords and knight action, you know, something taking on a dragon, a bear or something, or taking out the bandits, giving their comeuppance.
Yeah, I would have loved that happen. One thing I didn't mention that I liked was the makeup for the Green Knight. I thought he was pretty awesome. And it was interesting when he was waking up, right? So it was the day after Christmas. And where you seen him, he was sitting there, there was nothing. And then all of a sudden you've seen these little pinpricks of light in his eyes. And of course, because this movie, the pacing of this movie, it took about an hour for him to open his eyes, but it was still, I thought that was very fascinating. I thought that was pretty fun.
I have a question about that, but I'll share what I liked first and then.
Or disliked.
Or disliked. That's right. That's right.
I think I know the answer to your question, but anyway, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I think the pacing and then the plot of the story, I think, felt very ambiguous. Ambiguous. Thank you. The plot felt very ambiguous, and certain aspects of it felt very ambiguous. I know some parts were meant to feel ambiguous to drive a point, but then other parts were, I felt like, just ambiguous for the sake of being ambiguous. And I'm not sure how to derive meaning from it or how it pushed the plot along. Like, some things I really liked, some aspects I really liked. Like, I really liked, while he's on the quest, he falls asleep in the house and he awakes to this woman. And then she basically requests that he retrieves her head from the swamp. And I thought that was a neat thing. And there's this interaction where he goes, what will you do for me? And he goes, why would you ever ask something like that? It was I think the meaning in that is, you're a man of honor and material to be a knight. You're not going to seek what's in it for you. You're doing out of chivalry. Or at least that was the takeaway that I got from it.
Yeah, I get that. I'd say you're probably right.
Yeah. But I think ultimately there were too many things like that that were too ambiguous. Or maybe not like that, but there were too many things that maybe had a meaning that I just could not connect to or couldn't piece it together. I'm not really certain what the fox was about. I'm not really certain why. Another thing is that, so that same woman said, return you a favor, and he finds the axe that was originally stolen from him. So that, and that's okay, that's a cool thing she did. But then that makes me wonder, so was the lady also the Green Knight the whole time? Or what was the, what, but, and I guess now that I say that out loud, what I've read into about the plot, that might actually make sense. And then the same thing with the, he comes across the king and the lady, or the lord,
and the
lady,
lord of the manor.
And then she somehow grants him the axe again. So I don't know if I think, for what maybe the Green Knight represents and what the axe represents, maybe it's to symbolize what him getting back on track to being a man of value, or a man of being worthy of being a knight, or something like of that, or just what I've read about you, about that the Green Knight represents life and death, or the life after death
and a cycle,
the glory that is beyond life. And so that could be where, because he helped that woman, he obtained that glory beyond death, and the axe represented that. I don't know. But either way, if that was the case, in my opinion, and the storytelling of the entire movie, it was very ambiguous, so much to the point that I had to research it afterward. And I'm not sure that I do like movies sometimes where it is a mystery. It feels like you have to learn something, because I feel like in those movies, there's an experience gain that you get from not only watching the movie, but also diving into the knowledge of learning about the movie. A lot of times when I've experienced that, sometimes I've experienced it where it's like you dive into learning about the movie and the payoff is huge. And you're like, whoa, this movie just kept giving. This, I'm not sure I felt that way about. I tried to research it, and ultimately the way I feel about it is I'm not sure that the answer that I found, what this movie is about, I really feel connected to, or I feel, or I even really feel like I don't know if I wanted to work that hard for such a simplistic answer. Not to minimize the movie, and maybe there's still aspects that I'm missing of it, and it could have a deeper and greater meaning, but I, in what I've researched so far, I haven't picked up on. Because of that, I wasn't a big fan of some aspects of the plot and what the plot was. I'm not sure. I think sometimes the character relationships were ambiguous also. It was hard for me to determine who was who and what these people meant to each other, and how, kind of reading the environment and how people reacted to it, I didn't really like that. I think those are probably my main gripes. And then I also felt like it was very plotting. It was very methodical, and it just, there were parts that were, I think, meant to be meditative. And to me, they just fell short and were very boring. And it wasn't really about the learning or anything like that. But, and I forgot to mention this too. One thing that I did like with the cinematography, I thought there were some cool shots where it played into maybe the story, but I thought it was interesting what was being conveyed, or how they were conveying it, where I felt like there were multiple parts of the screen helping to tell different aspects of the story. And some of the cinematography was set up like a painting. And to circle back into what my question was, one of those scenes is the opening scene. You see what we believe the back end of a yard, or maybe a gate, and it's got livestock. And then in the far right corner, there's like a building that catches fire, and it looks like a man has been killed or is incapacitated. And then people run through the gate, and it looks like they steal a horse or they take a horse.
Yeah.
That I don't, what was that about? And then it draws back to him waking up in the brothel.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't have a clue.
The only thing I could speculate, I don't know if there's something I missed in the opening scene. The horse looks similar to the horse that he had, but I really don't know. They never really talk about what catches fire, but there is a video I saw talks about how King Arthur had got back from battles, and that's why King Arthur and the Queen look very kind of pale and sick because they were back from the battles and it was, what had they gained from the war and stuff? So the only thing I could think is maybe that was to show the end of the battles or something like that. The other thing I thought is maybe it was like speculating that, oh man, look at all this life that's happening out here. There's the livestock, the man's incapacitated. These people are stealing a horse and there's a fire out there. And then we draw into our main character who's just slowly awaking in a brothel.
Yeah, that's probably what it was, because that's the crux of the movie, is about life and choices. So
yeah,
that's probably what that was.
Too ambiguous.
I'm not going to disagree with you. Some of the problems I had with the movie were that I think it's the same thing when you take a short thing like the poem, right? You're taking a short poem and you're trying to make a movie out of it and you have to pad it and you're trying to keep the same feeling throughout the poem. So that the poem had in the movie, whereas the poem takes you 5-10 minutes to read and the movie takes you, it's almost, what is it? I don't remember what this clocked in at. Yeah, 2 hours and 10 minutes. So yes, you're right. 2 hours plus. You're right. It was more like a meditative movie where you're just watching it. There's not a lot that really is happening. Nothing real exciting is happening. And it would be easy to make this exciting and with a little bit more action. That's not the way they went. Rotten Tomatoes, of course, the critics just love this movie, but the audience didn't care for it. And that's why, I don't know any of our listeners out there, if you've heard of the movie or not, but that might be one of the reasons, because it is one of those films that the critics love. It's a highbrow film, and I think they enjoy when people don't get things or they think things are over people's heads. And I will say that the poem, I think this is a little bit more straightforward. Once at the ending of the poem is different, and it is more ambiguous. Believe it or not, the ending is, this ending is a lot more straightforward. Even though some things happen in the castle that I'm like, what in the world? One thing I don't like that they did is I think they skewed the universal message with some things that they threw in there that aren't necessarily universal. I feel like they suggest, maybe I'm just an idiot, but I feel like they suggested things that weren't something that everybody would enjoy. Just let me say that. And if you don't get it, I'm sorry. I'm not going to explain it any further. If you're going to tell the story, and I thought actually between this and the poem is more ambiguous at the end. And maybe it should be, because this one was pretty straightforward at the end. You pretty much knew what it was about. It was, doesn't matter what you do in your life. Doesn't matter, because we all face death. And so you can lay on the floor, or you can fight wars, or you can be a participant or just a watcher. Doesn't matter. We all get our shot and then we have to leave. So I did appreciate that message. Sorry about that spoiler, but might have saved you some time to watch the movie. But that was really the biggest message. And I think the things that happened along the way were just that, just things showing him that you will seek things in your life. You will have bad times, but you'll have good times, that like with the castle. And so I didn't like the pacing of the storytelling. I like the message, but I think it was too long to give me that message.
A couple things adding on to that. One, I think that I got somewhat fooled by the trailer. They compressed all the visually really interesting things, and they built it as an action or fantasy action something or other. And when I watch this movie, I'm like, this is basically the trailer stretched out over 2 hours. And the second part of it is, when I'm thinking of like King Arthur and the knights, I think of this felt too nihilistic for me, like too, it doesn't really matter what you do. If that is the sort of the antithesis of, obviously they're just, if you want to drill down, they're trying to deconstruct the hero's journey in some way. That adds to my irritation when I watched it, because of the events that happen. I want to see a hero become a hero. They don't have to be a hero to start with. They can have failures and foibles and issues, but you want to feel like at the end, it really doesn't really matter anyway what you do. That doesn't entertain people. Most people, unless you're like clinically depressed or you don't want to feel better about not accomplishing anything. But most people want to feel uplifted in some way when they watch, you know, want to be entertained. I watched like a 80s, 90s action film, and it was not great entertainment, but the bad guys lost and the good guys won. And there was something satisfying in that simplicity. And this didn't have any of that. It just, at the end, whatever, this feels like a whatever kind of movie. It was a disappointment for me because I was going into this expecting one thing when I watched the trailer, and I didn't get any of that.
Honestly, if in my mind I play it out, right, if I play out what happens in afterwards, I see Gawain living his life more to the fullest. Basically, if there was a part two, it'd be very exciting, I think, because I think he would have learned from what he did. He basically just got to hang out with his uncle, the king, and he was like talking about how, I wish I would have spent more time with you, is what the king said. One thing I did want to say that I didn't like, and I really can't blame the film for this, but this film really, visually, it really deserved to be seen in a theater because it was a beautiful film. There's a lot of great cinematography and visual effects. I watched it on Prime, and although I'm pretty sure Prime has 4K, this was not in 4K. And so there was a lot of visual artifacts and banding, and there were the dark scenes. You couldn't see anything. Some of it just was very pixelated. I've got great equipment at home. I've got a great TV. I want to see in all of its beauty. And I think that was a travesty to watch that movie in probably 720. I don't even know if maybe it was 1080. I don't know. But it just looked, the scene had to be very well lit to be good. If not, there was all kinds of banding and artifacts, and it just was horrible. I don't know if you guys had that. Are your TVs up converted better? I know Marshall's TV is kick ass, so I think that it probably looked great over at Marshall's place. But
yeah, I watched it on my phone.
And you watch it on your phone?
You probably, yeah,
you're a madman.
No wonder you didn't like it.
Some people just want to see the world burn.
Yeah, it was very dark in spots. Some of the things that was shot, I was just like, sure. I was waiting for my oil change. And I was thinking, is the lighting in this place causing the problem where I can't see anything? I'm glad I didn't watch it on a TV.
The authorities have been alerted, Norbert.
I don't regret this. There's certain things. If I want to watch this movie again, I'm just going to watch the trailer on the TV. Because maybe that would look more impressive. But I'm not going to watch this movie again. I can tell you that.
Speaking of watching this movie and watching it again or watching it for the first time, why don't we talk about a wrap up? Is this something that you would recommend to anybody?
I think if you listen to my prior statements, the answer would be a resounding no. I mean, there's any number of fantasy movies that I would recommend way over this. I felt like that this was 2 hours that the 2 minutes of the trailer tricked me into watching the 2 hour movie. And I did it for you, the viewer, so you don't have to. Don't watch this movie unless you're, no, just don't watch it. There's great cinematography out there in other movies. You don't need to watch it.
I wanted to add I'd seen a video that talked about the explanation. Was although the Green Knight was death, it also represented the life after death and basically the glory to be had in life. And a lot of Gawain's problems were that he wasn't ready for life, but he wanted to take shortcuts and was very eager to, he thought he had a shortcut to glory by cutting off the head of the Green Knight. And it was like a study on how there's no shortcuts in life. What you put in is what you will get out. What you take is what you have to return. Kind of.
Oh, yeah, that was obvious.
Yeah, no, I agree. I still think it was still ambiguous of a message, but I think there's something to be said about that as opposed to just being the Green Knight being a representation of life. I think there's more nuance. And then it's also a study of myths. The video that I watched talked about how myths are what we tell, not necessarily what happened. And Gawain's existence within the village and the kingdom ruined his chance at glory of being a myth or a legend. And that was very much what he wanted. He was very eager to be the knight of some sort of quest or something. And then in the end, that's what he got, but it cost him his life.
Yeah, but I will say this. It just sounds like that video is way more interesting than the movie I watched.
I think the Green Knight cut his head off at the end.
No, he didn't.
He did. He said, "Off with your head." And then it was the
took his finger and he went across his neck.
Yeah, but that was the, yes, it ends ambiguously.
So he was going to tease him a little bit.
I think so. He was like, because that's the point. That was the point of, okay, it's cool. You got it figured out, but we're still doing this thing.
But I'm here to tell you.
What you said, we can't run away. We can't, death is the, we all face that.
Death, right. So whether you're a spectator or an active player, we all face death. Basically saying you should be a player. And he said, whether I run my finger across your throat or I cut your head off, that blow is what you'll get. That's what he said at the very beginning. And one of the other reasons that I believe that I'm correct, unless this Lowry guy is just he totally wanted to change the story. In the original poem, he doesn't get his head cut off. He takes the sash off and if he still gets cut. He gets cut on the back of his neck. So he's a little bit, he still has the sash. No, he keeps the sash on. So he gets his neck cut a little bit, but he didn't get his head cut off. And he feels like, well, I'm a sucker. And he felt like he'd went all through this and he thought he would, that thing would protect him, but it didn't. But the knight made fun of him for wearing that belt, saying that you thought that this would protect you. But then he goes back to King Arthur's court and everybody cheers him on as being a hero. But he feels, speaking of ambiguous, he feels really ambiguous about that. So he lives. And I think he lives in this too.
There was a lot of ambiguity.
Yeah. But I think that's what they showed with, because there was the montage where he escapes and he runs back.
Sure.
And he realizes that even if he goes back, the life he would live is futile. It's not the glory that he wanted. And he realizes only in death is that glory achieved.
And then, he realizes in only facing death is the glory achieved. That's the little nuance there.
Well, I will say, a video I watched said it was ambiguous on purpose. So we're both right.
No, hold on. I think that reviewer is an idiot, because if they really knew, they would have remembered what was said, the knight had said at the very beginning of the movie.
But he said, whatever is dealt to me, I will return. That was the theme of the movie. Remember when he runs into the Lord also? He says, I will give to you what you take from the castle. And then he gives him a kiss and he realizes that he basically, it was showing that he was not a chivalrous person. He was not of knight material. And the lady even says, you are not a knight, or you don't have what it takes to be a knight, or something of that.
Yeah.
And that's showing you need to own up. You have to make good on what you take from this life and be prepared to give it back.
So let's just think about this too. It's really dumb whenever you have a creature coming in and going, hey, you can take a blow at me, but I get to take a blow at you a year from now. I would be like, this feels like a trap.
So if we want to really dissect the film, then I will tell you what my feelings of the whole thing was set up by his mother. She was a witch.
Another video that mentioned that.
And as all that stuff is happening, she's doing a big spell. So that was, and why would she say, so the Green Knight in the actual poem, the Green Knight was also the Lord of the Manor. He was hiding as, so I think that when we talk about the Lord, the Green Knight being the other characters, then I don't think he was that kid, of course, Saltburn kid, but I think he was maybe other parts of that. But and he may have been the fox. They may have been the fox to try to keep him on the right way. And also where he could have turned back, the last point where he could have turned back, that fox didn't want him to go and try to stop him. So I think that was also just a little bit of the maybe the Green Knight or his mother saying, you can turn back and just testing him. So I don't know. But I think he lived. Yeah, I think he lived. He married that married that dude that he was hanging out with back in the in the kingdom. And so everything was
great. He went back to the Lord and he said, he goes, hey, you're right. I better make this right.
No, it's a salt burn all over again. Yeah, I don't even want to go into that. That's what I was not going to talk about.
I think it's, bathtub, you know, it was terrible.
I think that was the... I think he
that was the part you liked. I get it.
I think he chopped his head off, and it was, and that was because that's what it was showing, is that if he would go back, he would live. Although it was like a, and that was the point of showing King Arthur as a kind of a hollow person. He was very a weak person and stuff, and that. And then I seen that in the video too. They said his mother, there's a part where he's at the Lord and Lady's place and there's a woman there with a blindfold, and they said that represented his mother keeping an eye on him, and that she had orchestrated this thing so he would become a man of glory, but of what it took for him to do that. And then at the moments where the axe was present or the Green Knight was present was an allegory for his what it meant to be chivalrous or be a man of dignity and to be something of myth and stuff. And then, so when he, right before he about gets his head cut off, he has the fantasy of if he goes back home and what his life would be like, and it would be all for nothing, to where ultimately he decides that's when he accepts his fate. What I really want is to be this, a noble
I want to
man.
Be a real boy.
or, the other interpretation is that he is not, none of it's worth it.
Yeah, cut my head off. Yeah. And then he goes, no, I'm not going to. So
you know what I think? So I'll do my wrap up because we got off.
Gone off on a tangent there,
but it was good. But I think we made some good points. I think ultimately it was too ambiguous and it was depressing in some aspects. Even regardless of how you look at it, I think it was very depressing in aspects, the story. And I think a better artistic representation of life as a whole is the Clerks trilogy.
Yeah.
Which is my all-time favorite trilogy. And I think it does a better job of encapsulating, you know, what a life is.
Are you trying to start fights? I can't even believe you brought that up.
No, I'm not. I'm really not. Why would I don't think...
Clerks trilogy is your
Clerks
favorite
trilogy?
I will stand on this till I die. It's a fantastic piece of art. All three of them.
You spelled fart wrong.
You're just being.
You're just, I think you're standing on some very shaky ground.
No, don't even. I said that I like it. I would not say it's my favorite trilogy at all, ever.
No, that's
fine. Have you
ever
heard of the Lord of the Rings?
No, I understand. Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Aliens?
No, that's fine. I understand. And I understand. What I'm saying is that, yes, I will admit my most controversial take in cinema is that Clerks is my favorite trilogy of all time. And I understand that some in a podcast with the Lord of the Rings.
He's even admitting it.
Dork and Star Wars. Yeah, so that I understand. But I will say, as far as encapsulation of life within art, I think the Clerks trilogy as a whole does a better job than the Green Knight.
Wow.
And I know that feels like it's out of left field, and it is probably a little bit, but it's been on my mind a lot. I just want to put it out into the
that
world.
That take makes less sense to me than
I award you no
in
points.
Inception.
I'm flabbergasted.
I think
now we've lost some credibility. Now, Pat, you're going to have to dig us out of this hole.
I stand firm on this, that there are parallels to the messages, and I'm saying is that I think that's the point I'm trying to make, is with the juxtaposition of the type of art that it is, the same thing is conveyed in the Clerks trilogy that is conveyed in the Green Knight, but I think at the end of the day it's less ambiguous and has more hope and meaning than the Green Knight did, or at least the way this film was executed does. I know it seems like it's a completely different universes, but that's part of the point.
A palate cleanser, Pat. Let's get.
Oh man, I'm telling you.
I guess it's so, like when people watch things like
and
this.
And cut.
When people watch things like this and they're grasping for a meaning and
like
stuff.
You are right now. Well, go ahead.
Well, yeah, but
you're
you can't help
reaching reaching way back there, and you pull out Clerks.
You can't help but think of because it like. Regardless of what the message is, we agree that somewhere between life, death, glory, and the meaning of life is what the representation of the Green Knight is. So it's one of those things where it's, okay, I've seen this subject matter handled in a completely different way, and I much prefer the different way. And I express that to the listeners because I feel like people will see this sometimes and they go, man, this whole meaning of life thing is too ambiguous and heavy for me. It's just burning me out. And I'm here to say, Clerks Trilogy, it's awesome.
So first, I want to say an apology to the people listening. We did promise each other to never be on the podcast, always be sober on the podcast. And I just don't feel that we all are meeting that standard right now. My wrap up, okay, if you don't mind. The best thing was that Gawain lived at the end. That was cool. And I think if you're interested in this, I would read the poem. I would read the poem and then I would read some explanations of the poem. And I think you'd be much better served than watching this movie. I think there are much better movies out there on the subject of living life and growing older.
Such as?
One I thought was really good was 13th Warrior. I thought that was a really good story about a hero's journey. But Bully Wolf in that story is an amazing hero archetype. And basically
that's an underrated film.
I think so. I think so. Very much. It's an epic poem. It's based on this epic poem that's been around forever. So I think it means.
And the Michael Crichton book is great too.
Yeah, this one is actually based on the Crichton book. And Crichton wrote that book because somebody had challenged him that nobody could write Beowulf, make it interesting. And he did, I think. I love the story Eaters of the Dead, which is what 13th Warrior was based on.
And which is a cool title.
And then when they made the movie with the Antonio Banderas, he did a really good job as the 13th Warrior. Hey, it's not Clerks, but it's pretty damn cool. So I just want to put that out there.
Yeah. Different subject matter, but okay.
So
I could think of any number of fantasy films that I enjoyed more. I even liked, there was a movie that was, I'm wanting to say Clive Owen was an Arthur kind of set in Roman times. The Romans was coming up and what started the King Arthur myth, as I recall. And I enjoyed that film.
Was that a
G film? Was not, maybe. I remember enjoying that film more than I thought I would.
Oh, yeah.
And I like sword and sorcery and King Arthur type tales of the knights and the heroes. And
Excalibur was, so it's a wonderful
Excalibur,
film.
Excalibur, yeah. Yeah. There's any number of films. I even, what was it, Legend?
Oh, with Tom Cruise, yeah. Oh, yeah, I love that movie, yeah. And it's, so that was a simple story too. That's another thing I liked about it. That it's just a simple story. And this one was a simple story too, but I think it tried to be too highbrow in spots, I think. So
you said something about the critics loving this. And my last thought on this, think of it like wine tasting. Actually, the number of people, the percentage of people that can actually distinguish the sort of the smells and the different kind of isolate the different is like less than 5% of the populace. And wow. So I think of this like with the critics. My guess is 95% of the critics didn't get it either, but they pretended, oh, this must be highbrow because George thought it was highbrow. And I'm smart like George.
I tell you, I didn't like the film that well, but I did enjoy talking about it tonight. And it did bring out some things that are a little bit scary, a little bit worrisome. About Clerks and Marshall, but I just have to keep moving on with my life. That's all I can say about that. So And there you have it, folks. Another episode of True Fiction's Kino Club in the books. Hey, thanks for joining us for another round of Movie Madness and sharing your love for cinema. Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcast platform and stay tuned next week for a new episode. Until then, keep your eyes and ears open for truth in fiction. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for hanging out with us on the True Fiction Podcast. If you like what you've heard, please visit us at Facebook. You can also leave us a review on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app. Until next time, stay true and stay creative. Hey, you're too late.